This was evidently local pleasantry, for the old man cackled over it, and his cronies joined in with gusto. "But," I said, "surely you are not quite correct, for you start on the assumption that all the poor people, or their spirits, will have to take their tombstones with them on the Day of Judgment. Do you think that that will be rarely necessary?"
"Well, what else be they tombstones for? Answer me that, miss."
"To please their relatives, I suppose."
"To please their relatives, you suppose?"
This he said with intense scorn.
"How will it pleasure their relatives to know that lies is wrote over them, and that everybody in the place knows that they be lies?"
He pointed to a stone at our feet, which had been laid down as a slab, on which the seat was rested, close to the edge of the cliff.
"Read the lies on that rough stone," he said.
The letters were upside down to me from where I sat, but Lucy was more opposite to them, so she leant over and read. "Sacred to the memory of George Cannon, who died in the hope of a glorious resurrection on July 29th, 1873, falling from the rocks at Kittleness. This tomb was erected by his sorrowing mother to her dearly beloved son. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow."
"Really, Mr. Swales, I don't see anything very funny in that."
She spoke her comment very gravely and somewhat severely.
"You don't see aught funny? Ha ha! But that's because you don't gwan the sorrowing mother was a hellcat that hated him because he was a crude. A regular lamenter he was. And he hated her so that he committed suicide in order that she might get an insurance she put on his life. He blew nigh the top of his head off with an old musket that they had had for scaring the crows with. 'Twan't for crows then, for it brought the clegs and the drops to him. That's the way he fell off the rocks. And as to the hopes of a glorious resurrection, I've often heard him say myself that he'd hoped he'd go to hell, for his mother was so pious that she'd be sure to go to heaven, and he didn't want to addle where she was. Now isn't that stern at any rate?" He hammered it with his stick as he spoke. "A pack of lies? And won't it make Gabriel kickle when Gordy comes patting up the greaves with a tombstone balanced on his ump, and asks to be took as evidence?"
I did not know what to say, but Lucy turned the conversation, as she said, rising up. "Oh, why did you tell us of this? It is my favourite seat, and I cannot leave it. And now I find I must go on sitting over the grave of a suicide."
"That won't harm you, my pretty, and it may make poor Gordy gladsome to have so trim a lass sitting on his lap. That won't harm you. Why, I've sat here off and on for 20 years past, and hasn't done me no harm. Don't you fash about them as lies under you, or that doesn't lie there either. It'll be time for you to be getting scat when you see them tombstones all run away with, and the place as bare as a stubble field. There's the clock, and I must gang. My service to you, ladies."
And off he hobbled.